his laws and exercising the gifts, rights, and privileges invested in them by his word, that its only scriptural officers are bishops or pastors and deacons, whose qualifications, claims, and duties are defined in the epistles to Timothy and Titus. Now, we have discussed these and studied these articles so far by the points that are outlined in each one of them, numbered. Some of them have more than other points. But the first point that we'll study tonight is the first statement in the article. We believe that a gospel church of Christ is a congregation of baptized believers. Now, number one, the point and the scripture backing that up is in 1 Corinthians 1, 1 and 2, and 13. Paul unto the church of God, notice he's, well, if it belongs to Christ, it belongs to God.
Amen.
And it belongs to the Holy Spirit, if it belongs to either one of us. Which is at Corinth. By the way, it's local. As the seven churches of Asia. We read about in the book of Revelation, they all were individual, independent, local congregations. This idea of an invisible church is stupid. It just doesn't exist. And there was one time when there was just one church, and that was Jerusalem, the one that Jesus set up, organized. And that constituted the kingdom. But every church that has been organized since of the same faith and order is included in that kingdom. All of them make up the church kingdom. But each one of them is independent, one of the other. All right, notice this. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, the sanctification that he's talking about here is the sanctification of the soul. Believers. And a believer, a true believer in Christ, is sanctified in soul. It's not a progressive work. It's an instantaneous work. But the sanctification that we study about it as pertaining to the flesh is progressive. And we can work on it all days of our life and not become perfect or above sin. But it gives us something to work for. And the goal should be better tomorrow than we have been today. Next one, called to be saints. That confirms the fact that the sanctification that he's talking about here is the election, which takes place in time and didn't take place back yonder in eternity. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Is Christ divided? Now this is further down in the first chapter. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Go back now to the first statement. believe that a church, a gospel church of Christ, is a congregation of baptized believers. Now, the faith was not in Paul. The faith wasn't in Apollos. The faith wasn't in Cephas. But Paul pointed out the fact that the faith of the church at Corinth rested in Christ. And therefore, believers in Christ, making up the church. Notice that Matthew 18:17. And that's talking about the discipline of members. And that's something I want us to deal with tonight, specifically. I think it's kind of got, if you'll pardon the expression, in the mind of some people, it's kind of got screwed up. People have got confused about it. In Matthew 18:17, we have the direction given for brethren, members in the church, to settle their differences. And there's a lot of difference now in a personal matter between brethren and a public matter that might exist. Notice this. That said, if your brother has aught against you, go and tell him his fault. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. And you can't write letters and get that done. You can't get on telephone and get that done.
Amen.
That's a face-to-face proposition.
Amen.
And let's notice another thing now. Even back in the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word was to be established. Now, if you can't settle it between yourself as individuals, he said, take with you one or two more. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. But if you don't hear them, then take it to the church. The church is it's not the church's business until that's taken care of. And that when that fails, it's soon enough for the church to deal with it. And of course, public offenses. That's offensive to a church. And the discipline that should take place, that doesn't belong to just one member. That church should have the authority to send out a committee and let that committee report back matters and not one member take over the management of a church. You can't do that. And the letter writing and telephone calls don't settle that either. But that's enough along that line. Let's look at this. Acts 5:11. Now, there were things happening in that day that caused a great fear to fall upon the church of Jerusalem. And Acts 5:11 says, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Now the question is, what did they fear? Well, a big meeting was going on. Revival was going on. I don't know how long it went on. The Bible doesn't tell us. But if I had to guess about it, I guess it went on 3.5 years. I know it went on long enough that people were about to starve to death. And it was necessary to take up contributions or collections and send to the poor saints at Jerusalem. Well, now God didn't demand this. It wasn't a command made by the apostle or the church, but they volunteered. And you know what the Bible says about making vows. It's better not to make one, and after you've made it, to break it. So there was man and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira. They sold their property. And others did the same thing. They brought their money and put it in the one common storehouse. And somebody said, "Ah, that's communism." No. No, it wasn't a law. Communism's a law. They volunteered to do that. But love of money, the root of all evil, and greed is a common thing today. And that got in their heart. They kept back part of the money. Well, Ananias came back to report hypocritically that he had brought everything. But God knew about it. You can't hide from God. You can't hide any of your actions from God. He knows all about it. And they carried him out dead. Well, it wasn't long until Sapphira came along. Same hypocritical action, lying about it. And the apostle asked her why she did it. "Why have you all lied? Why have you not lied to men except as you lied to the Holy Ghost? And the same feet that carried your husband out will carry you out." Now that is the cause of the fear. Wonder why God don't do it today. Same reason that it doesn't have special gifts today. Spiritual gifts, I'm talking about. A lot of things done by the day is to instill in the minds of people the importance of reverencing God. Sometimes I wonder today why people can't see some things that's happening that they should see, that God is visiting upon our people. All right, let's go a little further. Notice also this was the local church at Jerusalem. In fact, it's the first one. Now, another thing about this scripture, it said that they were all scattered abroad. Now, that is your method of mission in that day. That's how they scattered the truth. All scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They stayed at home. You ever noticed that before? All of them, it says, they were all scattered abroad, except the apostles. Now, we're talking about this collection for the saints. You'll find that in 11th chapter and 30th verse. Which also they did send it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now that is the money sent to the poor at Jerusalem. First Corinthians 4:17. Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, and he said, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son." Now, he wasn't his fleshly son. his son because he had been instrumental in gaining Timothy. He'd been saved under his preaching, I'm sure, and his influence. Who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, and shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere. In other words, each place, in each church. He said every church. Now that's singular, showing that it's local church. See also 14:23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, goes right back up here to your congregation. Now, if there were such a thing as a universal church, the scripture wouldn't identify it, because it'd be impossible for a universal church to meet together. They couldn't congregate. They couldn't carry on business either. All right, look a little further. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? We don't have tongues today. That was back then, and Paul's trying to straighten them out. He was trying to put the brakes on tongues, and it's hard to do. They had gotten in the habit of it, and they still had the power to do it. And they were making a god out of it. It was more important than anything else. Well, you take these people today, tonight, these Nazarenes and Pentecostals and Church of God, and tongues is the most important thing in their services. That's first and foremost. And they don't even have them scripturally. Just a bunch of gibberish. That's all there is to it. And I'm not afraid to face this at the judgment. I know what I'm talking about. It doesn't exist tonight. It's over. It's done. Nobody has the power and the ability to speak in the languages that they haven't learned. Just don't do it. Why, even those people on their Pentecost speaking in tongues, they didn't even know what they were saying. No. I believe I can prove that by this. Paul stopped them from their congregational tongues, speaking in tongues, the whole body. He said, here, when you all come together and all speak in tongues, and people come in to your service, when they say you're mad, I'd say so too. To your service, when they say you're mad, I'd say so too. That's just reasonable. Now, Paul said you can speak by two, at the most by three, and not then unless you have an interpreter. So those who were doing the speaking, they couldn't tell them what they're saying. It had to be somebody else with the power to interpret what they were saying. What was that? It was a language of somebody. This idea of an unknown tongue is unknown to the one doing the speaking. That's the reason it says it's the word unknown is used. It's unknown to the one doing the talking. But somebody out there on the day of Pentecost, there's 17 different nations there that have been brought up under different languages, and God empowered that church. Yeah, that church at Jerusalem, to preach the gospel to those strangers from other nations in the tongue wherein they were born and brought up. And he knew exactly when the day of Pentecost was going to come and how many people would be there. And it was a wonderful time for them to hear the gospel in their own language and carry it back home. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what tongues is for in the first place. Of course, it was a gift. I'll have to stop on that. I get started on that. I don't know when to stop. 3 John 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Now, nobody needs to want to have the preeminence in the church. It's a congregation. And it's a liberalized congregation. Religious liberty belongs to the church if it belongs anywhere. 1 Timothy 3:5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Now this is Paul writing to Timothy about the qualifications of a preacher. And he said, not a novice, not a young Christian, one that hadn't had very much development or maturity. Just be right simple about it and plain. It'd be too easy for him to get the big head. Get smart, thinking you more than anybody else. I've seen a few of them. I had a young preacher in a Bible study not too long ago, I believe that is West End. I'm not calling any names. I made a statement that Abraham wasn't saved when he left the earth of Chaldees. That's a preacher, young preacher. I don't believe that. He come to me personally. He didn't make a public statement. I don't believe you on that. I said, well, everything Abraham had done was works. If you want to go in Camelot, just go ahead. That's all he had, was works. He left his home. That was works. And we could mention a number of things that we could categorize as works. But when God told him and his seed, all nations of the earth, to be blessed, the Bible said Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteous. That is in Genesis 15:6. And that same preacher came back to me the next year and said, well, I'll have to agree with you. I said, good, I'm glad you've been studied. And that's the benefit of these studies. It gets you in the book. All right. Number 2. This said it associated by covenant in the faith and fellowship of the gospel, Acts 2:41-42. Notice this in Acts 2:41-42. Now this is the day of Pentecost. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And I want to point out right here that there was a change that took place from the time they heard the gospel and were pricked in their heart, convicted of their sin, and cried out and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Till the time they were made glad folks. And they that gladly received his word, now they were the ones that got saved.
Amen.
And they were baptized. And baptism is for saved people.
Amen.
It never has saved anybody and never will.
Amen.
It is for those who have been saved to emulate or show their faith in the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. that they have died to sin, in other words. And they've put away the old man, and by being raised from the watery grave, they're raised to walk in newness of life. Now, that newness of life takes place before the baptism. That don't make them live that life. They just show it by their being baptized. The death to sin takes place before the baptism, and don't happen in baptism. All right, it just pictures it. Notice this. They were added to the church. That same day, they were added to the church about 3,000 souls. Now, let's deal just a little bit with the method and means of getting into the church. Jesus empowered the church and gave the church the authority. And I'm talking about every local independent body to receive members. And when John the Baptist came, and he should be an example for all of us, John the Baptist, when he was baptizing in the River Jordan, and regions round about turned out to be baptizing him, they just wanted to be baptized. Everybody else was doing it, and they wanted to too, and that's common today, isn't it? Yeah. And you know what John said? He called them a generation of devils. Who's warned you to flee the wrath to come? Now, John the Baptist knew he was the messenger that sent from God. There wasn't nobody else out there that God had sent. He said, Who's warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring you therefore fruit, meet for repentance. And that's not M-E-A-T either. M-E-A-T, which simply means bearing witness of repentance, to show forth that you have repented. Fruits, and that's just an experience of grace. Now, I believe he demanded it. Somebody said, well, what about Judas? He told him something. He got in. Others have done the same thing down through the years. And come later on and say, I was wrong, I wasn't saved. Now, John was sent into the world to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And I believe every one of them were prepared, but Judas. And we find in the scriptures that he was in there that the scriptures might be fulfilled. The prophet told about him beforehand, and it had to come to pass, and everything else is going to come to pass, as I told you the other night, that the prophets have said. But what my point is this. There didn't have to be one other thing done to those that John the Baptist baptized, because he had authority from heaven to do it, but to bring them together. And that's exactly what Jesus did after his temptation upon the mountain. Down by the coast of Galilee, he began to call them together. Now, such an idea as the Lord having an organization ceremony up on the mountain, I don't believe a word of it. I think he called them together, and somebody said, well, how many did he have to have? Well, Jesus said, well, as many as three are gathered together. In my name, I'll be in the midst. And I believe as soon as he got that many, of the ones that John baptized and was prepared for that purpose. He had his church, and they just kept adding on and adding on and adding on. Well, we better leave that alone for the time being. But I don't want to leave this out.